everybody. Welcome along to the William Hill Snooker Podcast. We're going to look ahead to the Masters. 16 of the best players in the world will head to the Alexandroupolis for a fantastic tournament. Always enjoy the Masters. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is former professional Ian McCulloch. How are you, Ian?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I see you've come in your waistcoat. It's almost like you're stepping up to the green bench yourself.
Well, I thought this is the 10-year anniversary of me playing in the Masters, so I thought I'll roll back the clock and
good. You must have enjoyed it. It's always a cracking tournament, the Masters.
I was lucky because I played at the old Conference Centre, which was like an amphitheatre. It was really, really good. And I was also fortunate enough to win a game there, and I was also fortunate enough to play O'Sullivan there. He was very, very lucky. He edged me 6-0. But it was great because at about 3-0, half the crowd, I think it was about 1,500 people in, and half the crowd started shouting taxi for McCulloch. So it was quite, no, but I was lucky. It is a perk for being in the top 16. And the lads rightly deserve it because, you know, they're good enough to be there. The ranking list doesn't lie.
Yeah. Ronnie O'Sullivan has got a pretty good record in the Masters. He heads the betting at 7-4 for this year's tournament. Five times a winner in the past. We saw him win the UK Championship last time with a broken leg.
Well, apparently.
Yeah. Don't you believe that? Don't you buy into it?
I know if I broke my leg, I wouldn't want to be walking around a snooker table for a week. So I think there may be a bit of gamesmanship from our Ronnie there. But, yeah. We'll see.
You know, I did break my leg last year, and I wouldn't have been able to walk around a snooker table.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he's in good form, isn't he, at the moment? He seems to have exercised a few demons in recent years.
Yeah, Ronnie's been quite shrewd about what he does now. He's picking and choosing what he plays, and he's not playing in all the events. You know, he's not travelling out to Europe for a lot of the PTC events, which is good. What we know with Ronnie is we know he likes the short format stuff. He likes the stuff where he can turn up, play a match, go home, and he's only got to win three or four matches to win it, similar to the Champion of Champions. The UK Championships was only over, I think he played over about 8 days, and we know he gets up for them. And he always looks the man to back because everybody thinks Ronnie can beat. Ronnie wins when he wants to win, but the reality of professional sport is nobody wins when they want to win. The competition's too tough behind him now. He's got a tough opening, Ricky Walden as well, regardless of what happened last year. But he always looks the man to back, but at 7-4 he looks too short for me. I'm not saying he's not going to win it, but I'd rather back somebody each way and get a bit of value in the final and be on better than what you're backing Ronnie on the outright. You know, so he always looks too short to back to me, even because the reality is he doesn't win every comp he enters in, but people make such a fuss of when he does win. When he loses, he gets sort of like pushed to the side and forgotten about.
So 7-4, too short on Ronnie then. Judd Trump is second in the betting at 11-2. Obviously played Ronnie in the final of the UK and had a spirited comeback, almost got the better of Ronnie in the end. But what do you make of Judd Trump? Because he's got undoubted potential, but he just hasn't quite reached the level that he's expected.
He's been a world finalist and a UK champion, and he's won the Australian this year. And he's sort of like been the man in form coming into to the latter half of 2014. Obviously lost the Champion of Champions very closely to Ronnie. I think he lost 10-8, and then he lost 10-9 in the final of the UK after being 9-4 behind, winning five frames on the trot. I'm going to oppose Judd Trump simply because he's playing Stephen Maguire. And Maguire's coming into really good form after a horrendous start to the season that was making Stephen Maguire look like he was going to drop out of the top 16. Maguire, for all of a sudden, I think he'd reached rock bottom. He admitted he'd reached rock bottom. When you're rock bottom, there's only one way to go. And in his last four tournaments, Maguire's had three finals and a win. So Maguire's in really, really, really good nick. He won the PTC, I think it was in Portugal just before Christmas. 11-5 up on the head-to-heads on Judd Trump. And I think I can see why Maguire beats Trump. He maybe intimidates him a little bit. And that's why I wouldn't want to get stuck in on Judd Trump, simply because he's got a stinky opener and the draw won't get any easier after that.
Okay. Neil Robertson, third in the betting at 13-2. He's obviously got a good recent record in the tournament. Won it in 2012, run-up to Mark Selby in 2013. Can he have another crack at this? It was disappointing in the UK, wasn't it?
I think the reality is now is there's that many tournaments. Well, I know when I was playing, we had sort of like 6-7 tournaments a year, and if you didn't do it in them 6 or 7 tournaments, you were goose, basically. You know, you're having a month off between tournaments, 5 months off in the summer. These lads now, they are full-time players. They're playing all the time. And the problem is you can go and win two back-to-back PTC events in Germany and Portugal or whatever, and then you just run out of steam by the time the UK comes around. And this is where Ronnie's picking and choosing his events, as we were saying earlier. Mm. But I could back Neil at 13-2 simply because he's been handed... There's no easy openers, but he's got Robert Milkins. It's only Robert's second time there. He lost 6-1 to Ronnie O'Sullivan last year. Robert's had four or five semi-finals in his career, but Robert seldom wins big TV games. And to be honest, the Masters setup is a big TV game. It's one table, all the focus is on you. There'll be a good crowd. There'll be 1,000 plus in for that match. I think the venue holds about 2,500, but there might be 1,500 in for it. But, you know, it's a big atmosphere. And Milkins doesn't really, really produce his best stuff on the big stage. As you said earlier, Robertson's a proven winner. He's won the World. He's won the UK. He's won the Masters. He's one of the few who's done the Triple Crown. You know, he knows what it's about to win at big venues. And I think that's a comfortable opener for him, to be honest. I think the idea of doing well in tournaments as well is that you do win with a little bit in hand. I think he will get past Milkins quite comfortably. And I think, you know, Neil Robertson won't care who he plays. He won't care who's in his section. Neil Robertson will be thinking, well, if Neil Robertson's in good nick, Neil Robertson's happy. Mm. And that's an ideal opener for me, a comfortable winner where he's probably going to get through with a little bit in hand, and he can rest for a couple of days and then go on to quarterfinals. So I could back him at that price, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no easy matches in the Masters, but Robert Milkins is the 125 to one outsider, so...
Yeah, when I played in the Masters, you know, I'd won Switzerland, I'd had you know, two or three big finals, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like I was there. And, you know, when I was sort of like doing it, you had to do it in the TV events. Now there's a lot of stuff... I'm not saying anybody's in a false position in the rankings, because the ranking list does not lie, but there's a lot of snooker behind closed doors now, non-camera events where lads are winning matches, piling points up, and it has suited some players, should we say, than others.
Okay. Ding Junhui next in the betting at 8-1. When Ding turns up on form, he's
great,
very hard to beat.
Great player. Best break builder in the game for me, Ding Junhui. His position is immaculate. Phenomenally heavy scorer. But like you say, it's if Ding, the operative word is if. And that's the problem with Ding Junhui. He's had a really funny season. He's had some absolutely horrendous results. And for me, it was capped off with his loss in the UK to James Cahill, where, to be honest, he was poor. He's lost in a couple of the overseas events, so much so now that the Chinese Snooker Association is saying, well, we don't want Ding qualifying for these events. We want him seeded straight in because he's losing in the qualifying. And like you say, if he's running for you, you've got arguably the best break builder and best scorer we've got in the game currently. But it's if he's not running for you, it's that day when his head drops, and he does have quite a few bad Masters memories as well. You know, where you know, I can't remember the year. I think it was about 2006 or 2007, where Ronnie did a job on him in the final.
2007, yeah.
The crowd weren't being particularly friendly. Got on Ding's case, and Ding started crying. He got to him basically. As you say, it's not one I would jump on. Great player if he's in form, but if he's not in form, does he have the heart to slog it out for four matches? And that's I'd maybe stay away.
He did come back from that 2007 defeat and win it in 2011.
He's won the event, you know. But that's the thing. There's two if or not with Ding. You know. With somebody like a John Higgins at his very best, who's clearly not the player he was, and you know your Selbys. You know, with them guys, regardless of how they're playing, they're pulling the trap out to win. They're 5-1 down. They're still trying to win. Ding's 5-1 down, and it's that, well, you know, not to worry.
A bit of a Jekyll and Hyde character, isn't he? Mark Selby, also 8-1. Another player that's got a good record in this last 2 years. He won it in 2013. Yeah. He ran up to Ronnie last year.
Yeah.
He likes this event, doesn't he? Usually there or thereabouts as well.
I just think Mark Selby's a great player, and for a world champion, doesn't get the credit he deserves. You know, I wouldn't, you know, because Mark plays the game at not a breakneck speed like Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Yeah, he's not flashy, is he?
Believe it or not, Ronnie and Mark Selby are very similar players. But it's only because Ronnie does it twice as quick that everybody thinks Ronnie's flamboyant. And everybody thinks Ronnie's this big flea-wingy potter, but he's not. Ronnie plays the percentages superbly, as Mark Selby does. Mark Selby is probably the best percentage player in the game. And that's one of the keys to snooker, and especially winning money back in on snooker, is stick with the players who play the percentages very well and are tryers. And Mark Selby, you've got the ultimate package. He's had a quiet start to the season. Vicky had the baby just before Christmas. I spoke to him just before Christmas in Wigan, and he's happy, but he just said, "I'm not putting the time on the table like I should be when baby comes along." Obviously it's detracted his attentions away from things, but he did tell me, he said, "The new year comes," he said, "I start knuckling down," and it won't take a lot for Mark Selby to knuckle, get down and get somewhere near his best. And what you are getting with Mark Selby, if you look at Mark Selby's track record in the Masters, it's phenomenal. The number of games that he has won, I think last year or the year before, he beat Bingham from 5-1 down. It was 1 year he beat Mark Allen from 5-3 down, when Mark Allen was absolutely playing out of his skin. He tries his nuts off regardless of the scoreline, Mark Selby, and that for me is why he's always worth backing. There's going to be days. The problem is as well, when Mark turns up and he plays bad, he looks even worse because he's not an eye-catching player to watch. But when he turns up and he's got his head on, I'll back him all day long, because you've got a tryer. He's got a tricky opener against Sean Murphy. But again, you know, you've got the consummate percentage player in Selby taking on Sean Murphy, who does like to push the ball tight. He's a bit of a John Parrott style of player, is Sean Murphy. Likes to thump him in the back of the hole. Great if they're going in. If they're not, he generally gets beat. But I think if Selby wins that opening game against Murphy, which I do fancy him to edge it, you know, you've got a great runner for you there.
Mm. We'll move on to Sean Murphy next, and he's 16-1 in the betting. This is one tournament that has eluded Sean Murphy so far, and you think he's going to struggle in the opening round. So
it's funny, isn't it? You know, he's got a tough opener, obviously, against Selby, as we've just said. And I'm a big believer in horses for courses in snooker. You get some people just never ever truly. He's obviously been a world champion in 2005. He's been a UK champion. Does he put himself under it too much to win this and want to be one of the Triple Crown gang? Nobody would be fully surprised. A big price at 16-1 as well, but he's 16-1 simply because he's playing Selby in the first round. If he was playing, you know, if he was playing somebody like probably even one of the lower, not say the lower end of the top eight players, he'd probably be 9-1, you know, and he'd be in with the rest of the bunch. But 16-1 is a big price, because if he beats Selby,
he won't be 16-1 anymore.
It'd probably be into 5-1 or something like that. It'll plummet in, but it's the big if, isn't it? Mm. Great player, phenomenal player on his day, phenomenally heavy scorer. He's won the PTC in, I think it was Germany earlier this year, had a 1-4-7 in the final. I think that was against Martin Gould, I think, if my mind serves me rightly. Great player when it's going for him. But my thing why I don't like backing Sean Murphy is when the chips are down, he does like to push the ball tight a little bit too much. Hendry used to push the ball tight a little bit too much when he was at his best, but Hendry used to knock everything in, whereas Murphy doesn't knock everything in. Great player. You can't be as good as what he is and not be a great player. But I don't know. I think if you back him, you've got a good runner if he gets past Selby.
Okay. Mark Allen, another one at 16-1. What do you make of him?
I could back Mark Allen. And again, it's simply because of who he's playing in the first round. He's got John Higgins in the first round. They've played 14 times and it's 7-all. But crucially, Allen's won, I think it's 5 out of the last 6. Definitely 4 out of the last 5. And Higgins' form now is starting to wane a little bit. John's getting to 40 now. He's not quite the player he was. John's track record in the Masters, for a player as good as what he's been, is not over and hammering. He's only won the event twice, and this is his 21st appearance, and he's lost his opening match 10 times. Mm. So his track record in the event isn't good. Mark Allen's 27 now, 28. He's getting to that stage of his career where he's getting close to what his age peak should be. He's 4 or 5 year gap for peak. And Higgins hasn't been past the last 16 of an event this year. He's really, really struggled. Sometimes these events, when there's not that ranking point pressure, it brings a bit more out of him. But I really fancy Allen to win. I do. I think John, when you put him under, John's missing balls that he never used to miss. And I think Allen's a very predatory sort of player. He'll pounce. He's a bit unconventional in the sort of player who maybe John Higgins doesn't really like playing. And I think if he does win, again, you've got a good runner there at 16-1 in the quarter. He won't be 16-1 if he beats Higgins.
No.
He's probably going to be into about 10, something like that, because I think he's favourite for the match as well. So yeah, I could have a few quid on Mark Allen.
Okay, just spinning through some of the others. Stephen Maguire 22-1.
Great Barry. Price. That's a great price. Yeah. A guy who's playing really well, but his Masters track record isn't great. I think he's only been to the semi-finals once or twice.
Okay, Barry Hawkins 25s with Stuart Bingham. John Higgins 33s with Marco Fu. Ali Carter, great to see him back, 40-1 with Ricky Walden. 66-1 for Joe Perry and 125 for Robert Milton.
See now, Carter at 40s. Ali's that price simply because he's had a lot of off-table problems. He's just recovering from lung cancer again, which is great news. But he plays Barry Hawkins in his first match. He's 9-1 up on Barry Hawkins on the head-to-heads. And the time that Hawkins did beat him, you couldn't script this, he was 8-3 down in the UK and beat him 9-8. But then Carter's won the last five or six meetings after that. I actually think Carter's a good punter.
Right.
I'm not sure which half he's in, but I actually think he's a good punt, good each way punt at 40-1. I think Maguire's a good each way punt at 40-1. What was the other ones you mentioned?
Let's have a look. You mentioned the chance of Higgins. Stuart Bingham, he had a good year last year. 25.
Stuart Bingham's always a threat. He's having a good season so far. He's always a threat. He's playing. He's playing Marco Fu, I think, isn't he?
Stuart Bingham plays. Marco.
You know, he's got a tricky opener against Marco, but Stuart just loves playing. He loves being involved. And like I say, rather than backing Ronnie at 7-4, it'd be nice if you had Ali Carter at half the odds each way in the final at 20s or something like that, wouldn't it? I think it's nice. Far better value than backing Ronnie at that 7-4. But Maguire, again, coming into great form. If he beats Judd Trump, he'll be down to single figures from 22. So again, you're getting a good sweat there. And you're getting a guy who's a proven class player, UK champion, former UK champion. You know, former tournament winner. I think he's won 5, 6, 7 ranking events. And a guy, if he gets the bit between his teeth, fancies the job against anybody. Because Stevie's quite an intimidating player. He likes to bully the table and boss it a little bit. And I think 22 is a big price, especially if he gets past Judd Trump.
Okay, let's just have a little bit of a summary then, Ian. If you can take two or three of these if you want. How would you play it?
I like Robertson, 13-2, simply because I fancy him to get past Milkins. And you've got a 13-2. You won't be 13-2 in the quarterfinals. I like the look of Mark Allen. I like the look of Maguire. But my outright pick, simply because he's a proven class winner, he's the current world champion. You know he's going to try, and he's been a little bit off the radar in the first half of the season. Mark Selby, big events bring the best out of big players, and Mark Selby's a big player.
Yeah, to get 8-1 about Mark Selby in the Masters is huge, isn't it?
Massive.
Okay.
You could actually, if you were being a real shrewdy, you could hope he goes 2 frames down in his match with Murphy, and if there are some prices in running on the tournament, that 8-1 might go out to 10-1, 11-1, 12-1, and get a bit more value.
Yeah, that's just getting greedy, though, isn't it?
the danger is if he gets in front. But I think it's a great price, 8-1, full stop.
Okay, good stuff. Well, pleasure to speak to you again, Ian.
Cheers, Mark.
Good luck and enjoy the Masters. So there you go, the thoughts of Ian McCulloch on this year's Masters. You can also watch his video previews as well if you go to sports.williamhill.com, click on the snooker pages and look down the right-hand side. He's previewed all 8 matches in the opening round of this year's Masters, so do have a watch of those as well. Thank you very much for listening to this and enjoy the Masters.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.